Father God, we thank you for so many things. We're in a world that is filled with battle, with discord, craziness. So we lift up those who we love and ally with, our friends and our brothers, our sisters. We lift them up to you in Jesus' name. We lift up our ally, our favorite ally, Israel, to you in Jesus' name. And we pray for her salvation in Jesus' name. Let us not grow weary in doing that good work. Father, I pray for each person who represents a family here, that your hands would be upon their family. That through them, their family would come to know who you are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you could please stand for the reading of the word. Title of the message is Everyday Discipleship. And we're reading from Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, and Luke 9, verse 23. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land that you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command you. You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So, Lord God, we just ask for the anointing to fall upon this vessel, that we speak the words you want us to speak. We ask for the anointing to fall upon our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us this day in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before we get to today's scripture, we have to backtrack just a little bit to talk about what's happened up to this point. And it's going to be a relatively brief intro, but we know that the Israelites were delivered from bondage and slavery from Egypt. And they're about to a place where they settled for a short period of time that Moses could go up a mountain, receive the law of God, and bring it back to them. Moses comes down from the mountain, and he sees the slide of the Israelite nation, people. And they're engaged in idolatry. They create a golden calf, and Moses sees it, and he has the commandments, and he takes them and he slams them down. Because it took relatively small amount of time before they forgot the one who was in the process of delivering them and went back to their old ways. And their old ways is going back to the vomit. It's going back to hell for all practical purposes. Hell on earth. And they forgot the one who was going to deliver them. That's important to know as we get into this reading of this chapter. In Exodus 19:4, it says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is the work that God has done. He brought them out of bondage to bring them to himself because he was going to raise up and work a plan through his people that even you and I today would receive salvation on the work that was going to be done. Yet this is how the Israelites responded. In Exodus 32:7, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, "This is your God," small g, "O Israel, that I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people." And then the scripture I alluded to before in Proverbs 26:11 says, "As a dog returns to its own vomit, so a fool repeats its folly." God delivered the Israelites from bondage, and they desired to go back to the stink of sin and bondage. Before I go any further, I want you to just stop and think for a moment. In your own walk with Christ, can you see yourself doing that very same thing? And everybody in the place should be going, "Yeah, I did. I do." Why is that? Why is it? Well, I'm going to tell you why, but not just yet. So he starts right away in Deuteronomy 6:1. He says, "This is the commandment of the Lord, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land that you're crossing over." So he gives them some information that they're supposed to glean and hang on to and begin to live by. All right? He's given them statutes, and he's given them commands. Do we just naturally, in our human flesh, take the commands of God and just do them? If we do, it's not for long. And I think that's part of the issue of what's going on here. "That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command you." And then he says, "You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life." What scares me is that God will punish. He will punish to the third and fourth generation. But woe to the one that led the generations to come after you down this road of degradation of lostness. Woe to the Jews in these cases who led their children away from the God who saves. Woe to us as parents when we choose to operate in our flesh as opposed to operating by the Spirit, training our children in the way that they should go. When I said it's a big deal that Awana's starting up and that the youth group is getting revved up. Actually, they've been meeting all year, I think. But that's a big deal. They're facilitating what we as parents are supposed to be doing with our children and grandchildren. And some of you, it's great-grandchildren. I said a week or two ago, the greatest ministry we have is to first be ministers and priests in our home to our families. But it's the children. And I'm telling you, they are in a war that you and I don't even know because it's escalated to a point that we can't comprehend what they have to deal with on a daily basis. They're being taught things that you and I would shun in the 70s and 80s. And Donnie could take us to the 20s, the roaring 20s, and tell us what it was like then. But there is a slide, and we can be quite numb to it. Or we could be blind to it. Look what happened to the Israelites. Because of their sin of idol worship, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And they never got to enter the promised land. That was by God's design because of their sin. I don't want my children. I don't want me. I don't want my children. My wife, my family, my grandchildren. My great-grandchildren don't have any of those yet. To ever have to wander in the wilderness because I neglected to do what God had called me to do. That's a charge to all of us. And this is their state. So what happens? They die in the wilderness. They perish in the wilderness. And now we're at the precipice of them crossing over the Jordan and entering into the promised land. This scripture is so pertinent for today, it's unbelievable. How many of you are sitting at the precipice? What a word, huh? I just added five syllables to that word. Standing at the precipice of a victorious thing that God is going to do in your family and in your life. Just think, are you there? You're there. And then if to step away or to relax or let go and just, how terrible would that be? I was watching the NBA playoffs and there was a quote from the coach from the Phoenix Suns. And he's telling his team, he says, everything we want, everything we desire, everything we hope for is on the other side of hard. And the same is true for us believers. Everything we're going through is on the other side of hard. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against fear of the hard. I come against apathy, not caring that it's hard because we're not going there anyway. I come against that in Jesus' name. God is calling us to go through the hard. He's sharpening us. He's making us better. And he's giving us laser focus for our children. That's what he's doing. Why do we have to go through the hard? Because they're going to go through the hard. And if you have grandchildren, you know really well what they're going through is hard. And we have to be there to help them get through it, help them navigate this whole thing. First thing I want to really share about this is the blessing of obedience that the Lord has for his law. Now the offspring of the generations that perished in the wilderness will need to be taught the commandments and statutes of the law. So what's the blessing? God can judge us to the third and fourth generations. But with this generation that's alive that was not present except for Joshua and Aaron, they were going to be able to cross over into the promised land. Is that awesome? That's grace that he's allowing them. And now God is standing at the forefront, speaking through his mouthpiece, which is Moses, who, by the way, has a stuttering problem. And he has a hard time speaking. And God is going to speak through that vessel with all the power and authority that is needed to say what needs to be said, to give the law that needs to be given, that it can be taught to their posterity, to their children and their grandchildren. Thank you, Jesus. And what is it? It's in verse 2, it says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. And then he says in verse 3, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. On the other side of hard is the victory. On the other side of hard is the reward. Thank you for that, Jesus. And then he says in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So he begins his message to this relatively lost group of people who have not found the fullness of who he is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That is a direct reference back to what took place at the foot of the mountain where they entered, the Israelites entered into idolatry. In a time from the coming out of the Egyptians, they had multiple gods. No, the Lord thy God is one. Well, you and I know what that means. That one God that we love and that we serve and that we bow before, that we worship. That one essence has three parts to it. It's the Father, it's the Son, and it's the Holy Spirit. And to diminish any one of those three, you're diminishing the wholeness of God. Don't be a two-thirds God believer, and don't be a one-third God believer. Be a full believer in the full God. In Jesus' name. In 1 John 5, 6, it says, this is he who came by water and by blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And this verse 7 is just powerful. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. That is the God we serve in this church. That is what it's called to be a Christian. All right? We don't diminish any one of those, because, like I said before, to diminish any one of those, you are diminishing God himself. That's almost like saying the work that Christ did on the cross isn't enough to forgive me of my sin. I got to do these laws. That's a lie from the pit of hell. No, the work that Christ did on the cross was enough. It was enough. Don't diminish. Don't diminish the Father and say, well, we got Jesus. And Jesus is all about love and forgiveness and grace. We got him. So that hard Father that dealt with Jeremiah, you know, that dealt with the curse, that dealt with all that, you know, I'm going to deal with Jesus. We're fools if we do that. They're the same. They're of the same essence. Remember, the Father spoke, and he spoke by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And the word that came forth was what created everything that there is. In perfect harmony, the Trinity was at work. Don't diminish one or the other. Don't say, I'm afraid of the Holy Spirit because it makes me talk funny. Don't say, I'm afraid of the Holy Spirit because he's going to want me to touch somebody and have them be healed. Yes, he will. Lay hands on the sick and they'll be made well. Lay hands on the dead, physical or spiritual, they'll be made well, whole. Do not diminish God in any way. And he says, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. We know that today. What they knew of that, to be really honest with you, I don't know the depth of what they knew on that. But they knew there was a God because of the miracles that he had done. And then he says, the next thing he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Were they able to do it? Well, if you read through the Old Testament, they would have their moments that were so good, but the reality was they were not able to do it. They couldn't sustain in loving God. They couldn't sustain in following the law. They fell short. They fell short. They fell short again. This is an Old Testament scripture written probably about 4,000 years ago or so. I don't know. And I know what it feels like to fall short. And I fall short. And I fall short. And God forgive me because I have the Holy Spirit in me. They didn't have the Holy Spirit functioning in the same way that I do today. Or that you do today. He says, love him with your whole heart. And I think this brings us to the issue of the whole thing. We're called to love God with our whole heart. The Israelites were called to love God with their whole heart, but they had no Holy Spirit to help them love God as he ought to be loved. So they had to love God by doing. They had to love God by following his direction. They had to love God by following the law that was given. And they couldn't do it. They fell short. Every one of them fell short. Every one of them from the time of Adam and Eve to today fall short trying to live by those Ten Commandments and by the law that God gave. And God makes a way. Oh, God, you are amazing. He makes a way. And he says, I will do it for you. And he sends his son, who is really him. Go figure that'll mess up your whole lunch trying to figure it out. And he sends his son, who could live by the law and did live by the law. And when he's dying on the cross as a sacrifice for you and me, and his hands are stretched out, blood pouring from his side, he breathes his last and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. He takes his last breath. Fulfills multiple prophecies in this time period. And he says, the work that he came to do, it is finished. And he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit to you. And I just shared this at a funeral the other day. That committing his spirit is a reminder to us that he cannot be killed. His flesh dies. Your flesh dies. My flesh dies. That's true for all of us. You can stick your brain in cold juice, cryo, whatever you call it or whatever. You're going to die in the flesh. But your spirit doesn't die. And his spirit didn't die. He says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He helped us immeasurably, incredibly. The Lord your God is one. And then we know that he comes and he gives us a new covenant. And this new covenant is a big deal. It said it's a better covenant. Excuse me for this, but it's the better covenant. And I used to think, why is it better? Because I thought it was better because now I'm forgiven. Now I can go to heaven because he did it all. And that's true. But it's a better covenant for other reasons. And I want you to look at it because the new covenant says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? We all know that. Almost verbatim from what was said in Deuteronomy. And then he goes on to say, and love your neighbor as yourself. And it says, the law and the prophets hold on these two things. But it's a better covenant. Why is it better? I think it's better because it's more strict than the Old Testament covenant. It's harder to do than the Old Testament covenant. And here's where I'm going with this. Jesus said to him, this is Matthew 27:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then Jesus takes it a step further in Matthew 5, which comes just after the Beatitudes, and he says, you have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh my goodness, the covenant just got hard. I liked it when it was all about loving and I love God, he loves me, I love my neighbor, the ones that live close to me that I have a relationship that I never have to look at, whatever. But he says, love your enemies. That's just not fair. I don't want to love my enemies. I want to fight with my enemies. I want to win. Love your enemies. Those who persecute you, pray for them. That is not easy. That is tough to do. His covenant's harder. Then he goes on, and this will resonate. In verse 6, Deuteronomy 6:6, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And this is going to be the foundation of the problem. But he says, if a man looks at a woman with lust in his eyes, he's already committed the act and deserves judgment. If I hate my brother who sins against me, I deserve judgment. Everything within my flesh goes against that very thing. And it says, I deserve judgment. I am to do better than what the Old Testament said. The Old Testament had me doing the right thing, following the steps, color by numbers, doing all that. But here, it takes us to the next level. And the love becomes, instead of a love like, I love chocolate, it becomes a love like agape. Well, I love regardless of how they treat me, how they care about me. I have to love like that because that's how he loved. This new commandment is unbelievably hard. But there's a difference. And I think this is where I wanted to go with the love was, those 10 commandments were written on tablets of stone, and they were impressed upon a people with hearts of stone. And in their own strength, there is no way they could live by that law. But God has given this law with a different spirit behind it, different purpose behind it. And these laws you're to put on your heart. and you seal on your heart, and your heart is to be circumcised, changed from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And now I have this power of the Holy Spirit in me to be able to do the things he's called me to do. And still, I can come up short. I come up short, even with the Holy Spirit, because I've learned in my life how to tune him down a little bit. God forgive me. And God forgive you if you're working on tuning out the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is there to help us do the things God called us to do. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can love the unloved. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can serve those who should be serving me in my mind's eye. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Can we say that today? Hear, O Pastor Mike. Hear, O Mike LeClaire. The Lord our God is one. And I will follow, I will follow, I will follow. And then it goes on in the rest of the scripture to begin to tell us the importance of drilling this into our family, drilling this into our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. This is how we fight the battle. And we fight the battle by talking with God, having relationship with him, knowing who he is by his word. And we use that word to be able to do the things he's called us to do. And we do it with a changed heart. If you have a hard heart of stone and you've never come to Christ, that's got to be reconciled ASAP, as soon as possible. Today is the day of salvation. That's what he's asking of us. That's what he's asking of you and he's asking of me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, church, the Lord our God is one. And then he goes on and he gives us the practical hands-on thing as to how you teach. If you walked into our house, you'd see our mirrors in the bathroom. And on, we have a big mirror to make a small house look big in our kitchen. And there's just posters with all kinds of scripture on there that Sally puts up there. And when the grandkids come over, you know, she goes through them with them or they see it and she'll read them to them. And I thought, that is really a beautiful thing. What I didn't know is she put them up there for me. So that I see them and I read them and I say, oh, never seen that one before. No, I'm kidding. It's a big deal. And I don't want to hammer this point, but I think it's still okay. Your children right now are going through stuff we've never imagined. It is 180 degrees contrary to the truth that we knew growing up. And that was on a secular level. On a spiritual level, I can't comprehend it. We have to teach our kids. Speak into their lives. Your neighbor's kids, speak life to them. I gave a word today from a teenager that came from a friend. Doesn't even come to our church. And there was power in it. Why? Because the dad speaks into his life. The mom speaks into his life. I know the parents in here, I don't know who doesn't or does or doesn't, but I know some who just, everything within their being is going directed towards their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. That's what we're called to do because they're going to face a mighty battle. Too many times when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. That standard is Christ. The standard of Christ in the New Testament is a higher standard, a deeper standard, a more profound standard than the one of the Old Testament law. And that's what we're supposed to be teaching our children and the people that walk through the doors of this church. Why do I get so giddy about life groups? Because that's happening in life groups. And we have another group, D groups, where people are going through the Bible in a year doing five times the amount of work. That's awesome. That's what it should be about. That's our standard. That's what we focus on. Because none of us can keep up with the nonsense that's coming at us now. It's daunting. It's overwhelming. I get one thing that's new to me and it throws me off my game. I got to get right before God so I can deal with it. That's all of us. And then you might say, well, you know, we've taken measures. We send our kids to Awana. You should send your kids to Awana, because in Awana, they're going to train your kids up to help you train them up. But the responsibility falls on you and me. Oh, but we go to a nice private school. Good for you. That's the place we need to be praying over. I'll tell you why. Because we think, because we've done these great things, we send them to youth group and we send them to Awana and we send them to the private school, that God's got them. Oh, do your due diligence. Talk about them with your children when you wake up and when you go to bed, before you go to bed. Pray with them all the time. Well, they don't really like it when we do that anymore. Oh, then do it double. Double down on it. Don't give up on your kids. And they're not safe because other people are taking care of them. That responsibility is you. And the hardest thing I'll say today is take care of your stinking responsibility. Don't pawn them off. You take care of them and let them be, what's the word I'm looking for? Compliments to what you're doing. I actually had a different word, but I can't think of it. And then it goes, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And the thing that jumped out at me when I read that, I'll read 6 and 7 and 8 again. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. The thing that jumped out on me is the counterfeit does the same thing with his mark. On your forehead and on your wrist or on your hand. And he is a counterfeit. And he, by the way, is diligent to train your children in the way they ought not go. And you and me in the way that we ought not go. And you just see the contrast there. We must be diligent with our kids. I could probably keep going on and saying it over and over again, but I think you get the idea. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I'm really says on the doorpost, and it doesn't say lintel and lentil, because that's really rocked a lot of people around here. I had a bean for a crossway. A bean, not a beam. On your doorpost. Welcome. It's nice. It's friendly. God bless you. That's really nice. Should have a thing on there saying, you are going to hell if you don't have Christ in your heart. Wipe your feet right here. Clean up. Get ready. Come on in. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. If I could, Pastor James, team. And then in Luke 9:23, it says, then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The cross is about sacrifice. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, it says. What does that mean? It means we're sacrificing self for something greater than self. The standard of Christ in the New Covenant, which sounds a lot easier than the Old Testament, is quite contrary. The new covenant is the greater covenant, which I shared before. But what does it mean? Then we take that cross, take up our own cross. We deny ourselves first. My pleasure is secondary. My wants are secondary. Even my needs are secondary to what is primary. And what is primary? Christ is primary. To follow him. To trust in him, to open myself up, to allow him to come in and work through me. And it's hard. But like that coach from the Phoenix Sun said, everything you and I desire is on the other side of that hard. It's so hard. Yeah, but he so supplies us with all our needs for his glory and his purposes. Some of you have children right now that are grown children, and you might think it's too late. No, it's never too late. Too late for you and me, maybe, but it's not too late for God to do a move. in the heart of somebody. Oh, Mike, you don't know. I just really messed up with my kids. Yeah, well, pick up from where you messed up and let's move. He's not done with them. Now, he's probably ready to do something because you're ready to surrender your kids to him. Do that. We got some saints in this church. I know you weep daily for your children. And you tell me every time I see it, I just wish my grandkids were with the Lord. They don't know the Lord. Let's give them over to God right now. In Jesus' name. That's the call. That's what he's asking of us. And all the while, we are dependent on him. And we have to follow him. We have to walk with him. Talk with him. The highlight of my last few weeks is I feel like worship has revisited my home, at least when I'm home. I know what's going on all the time. But when I'm home and I enter into worship, it's been beautiful. And when I enter into worship on my time and I make it God's time, it becomes wonderful. And then he begins to use me differently. And he brings me the place where I surrender to him. And then he'll say, do this. And I do that. Do this one. Well, that one's kind of hard. I'm going to be a little embarrassed. Do it. On the other side of heart, it's beautiful. It's what I really want in the first place. Over the course of the last 3 months, I had a lady at a memorial service where her boyfriend died. And they're connected to the family, some families in this church. When she heard the opportunity to receive Christ, she said, I want that. I want that. It was giddy. It just lit me up. And she received Christ. And she's been here several times. Pastor James and I did a funeral this weekend. And I don't know that I've ever been more moved. It was incredible. It was a whole large family. And we gave the call to receive Christ. When Jesus left and he says that where I am, you may be with me also. You can take care of that today and I'll be standing around after the service. One of them was priming the pump with Pastor James, and as soon as they were finished, he came over and asked to receive Christ. I was so excited. I'm telling everybody because that's what God had done. And then I turn around to get some stuff and there's a guy standing next to me. I don't know him. He's got a mask on. Can't read anything. And he's making small talk. Can I see your face? You know, can I help you? Is there anything you want to talk about? He said, you made a deal with us. I said, I made a deal. Oh, you mean that salvation thing? Yeah, that's it. And so I set my stuff down again. And I'm ready to pray for him. And I turn around and now he's got two girls with him. They want the same thing. Was that because I was at work? No, it's because God was at work. And he was doing something. Was I working? Yes, I was working. James was working. Working and they received Jesus. Well, then God in his infinite ways. One, I used to coach in tennis. I'm not a tennis player. Well, of course you don't know right now. I was a great tennis player. And I recognized her and she's got tears coming down her face. He's never done. I've been out of that school for 7 years where I taught. But she remembered, and it helped facilitate her coming to Christ. What did I do? Nothing. What did God do? He did everything. And the kingdom grew that day. He's not done with your kid. These people were in their 20s and 30s. They came to me. Their parents were gone already. And they received Christ. The work is not done. Until the last amen. It is not done. So right now, I'm just going to have you close your eyes right where you're at. And this is the word I have for you. I want you to get a name, somebody in your family who's impossible in your eyes. But God is calling you to reach them in some kind of way. It's family first, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ first. Then we move on. And you know you're supposed to do something. Maybe it's just you just have to focus prayer on them. I don't know. But there's a work to be done. And it's not finished till God says it's finished. If you know somebody like that in your family, I just want you to slap your hand up. Raise your hand. Yeah, me too. Me too. Keep them up there. In Jesus' name. For some of you older folk, it's brothers and sisters, cousins. Same with the younger. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every hand that's raised. Lord, and by your Spirit, give them wisdom. Each person here, give wisdom. Give directions. And I pray that you make it clear where they're to go and what they're to do. All the while knowing that we give this back to you in Jesus' name. For you will do the work. We have to take the steps. Let us know that in a deeper way, I pray right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for salvations to come to families. In Jesus' name. Cousins, brothers, sisters, children. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, now I pray for those who come against us, who persecute us, who are angry at us, who speak lies about us. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Actually, I'm going to ask right now, if you have somebody like that I just mentioned, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. People have come against you. People have persecuted. People have said mean things about you. Stand up. If that's you, I'm standing. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you give them a heart to pray for those people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, believe that God is going to use you in your prayer for those people that have come against you. Because now we're operating out of the new covenant love and not the old covenant love. Now we're operating by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our stony hearts, but by a heart of flesh that's been circumcised by the Spirit of God. I pray for that right now in Jesus' name, that each of us receive that. And see that blessing of what God's going to do. Now, Lord Jesus, I bless this church in many ways over. I'm going to ask everybody to have a seat right where you're at. Your hands can come down. And I'm just going to ask you to rest with your eyes shut. If there's somebody here who doesn't know Jesus, you've heard about him, you know about him in your head, but it's never made it to the heart. You're still king of the throne in your life. He's not. I'm going to give you an opportunity to actually make him Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, our God is one. And I'm asking you to place him at the helm of your life. You're making him Lord in your life. That means you do what he wants you to do, not what you want to do. If you've never done that before and you want to today, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand up. Wherever you're at, if that's you, say, I've been lax. I've been calling the shots. I've been Lord of my own life. I do what I want, not what he wants. Just raise your hand. I see that, brother. Is there anybody else? Just raise it high so I can see it. Jesus. Yes, sir. I see it. You can put it down. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. I got you, brother. Anybody else? You're good. You're good. Pray with me, will you? Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. Thank you for all that you do.
All that you do.
Thank you for what you're calling me to do. Thank you for taking my sin. I give it to you freely. Thank you for taking the throne in my life. Thank you for giving me the wisdom and the strength to give you that place. Now be Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name.
Amen.